Cyber attacks are on the rise, and our very food, water, and energy systems are at risk. What can industrial companies do to protect our planet and make it a better place?
All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, that is Gail Kanedek, and he's with a company called Mokana. And you know what Mokana's about? Cybersecurity. And you have to recognize, in the industrial world, cyber attacks are increasing every year. But fear not, fear not. You've got companies like Mokana and people like Kao who know what they're doing. So let's enjoy. We have no time to lose. Let's enjoy the conversation.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Me, personally, so glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining the community. Great interview. Gentleman by the name of Kao Kanedek, and we're going to be talking cyber security and the importance of a great strategy. You got to have it in place. We're being attacked each and every day, and it's increasing more and more and more. But great people like Kao and Mokana, boom, we've got solutions. So let's get the interview underway. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I'm super stoked about this particular interview, and sharing it with you, because it's something that we just don't talk about. We don't talk about the attacks that are taking place. The folks in Mokana, Kao, they live it each and every day. They try to stay ahead of it, which is just pretty spectacular. So for me, in preparation for this particular interview, I went out and in my browser, I popped in cyber attacks or something to that effect. And I get a little, because it's all out there, quite frankly. And I get something that says 11 eye-opening cyber security stats for 2019. One of the things that pops out, which just blew me away, is only 10% of cyber crimes are reported in the United States per year. Only 10%. What's happening with the 90%? They probably don't know, or they want to sort of cover it up. Who knows? I don't know. But if only 10%, that's 90% that's out there. That is staggering. The other one that just sort of made me all nervous and goofy is that businesses will fall for ransomware attacks every 14 seconds. 14 seconds. Oh my gosh. And so for me, when I was talking to Kao, I said, well, how do you guys stay ahead of this stuff? How do you do this? And Kao, because he's got such a calming voice, because I would panic. Right, my head would just explode and blood would come out of my ears and all of that stuff. But Kao said, okay, we're going to approach it in a pragmatic way. And in his interview, he lays it all out, nice and calm. There's no reason why you can't have a strategy in place to protect your organization from bad people who want to sort of penetrate. And these guys live it, Mokana and Kao. So for me personally, I am so honored to have Kao out on this particular episode of the Industrial Talk Podcast. And let's get to it because we have no time to waste. So thank you very much. Welcome, Kao. Let's get going with the interview. All right, Kao, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that you are here. And it's Kanedek, right? Kao Kanedek.
You got it. It's great to be here, Scott.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about having you on the podcast in a big way. So, hey, for the listeners out there in Industrial Talk podcast world, give us a little background on who you are, where you come from, and, you know, give us a little human side of who Kao is.
Sure. My name's Kao Kanedek. I'm the head of cyber protection and privacy at Mokana. I look after our product strategy, as well as help companies to make sure that their products and the things that they're building are safe, secure. And I've been at Mokana here for about 2.5 years.
One of the things that I find it, there's you just mentioned it, there's safety and then there's security. And how do you define those two in light of what we're talking about cyber-wise?
So, you know, safety and reliability are at the core of any industrial company. When you think about any manufacturer or an oil and gas company, an electric utility, ensuring that your plants are safe, your equipment are safe, and ensuring their reliability is paramount. Small improvements in reliability or performance make a big difference that goes straight down to the bottom line. Security is a bit different, especially in the industrial space. Security is oftentimes thought of as IT security, and sometimes not as applicable to OT or operational technology environments. The reality is it's all linked. Not only the safety of where companies build their products, but also the safety of the very products they create, whether it's a food, a snack item, or water and fresh water, or the energy that we rely on.
And see, we're gonna dive a little bit deeper into that. And what fascinates me, and you listeners out there, don't take this the wrong way. It can't be. There's a scary component about it, because what we're talking about is what Mokana provides. What we're talking with Kao is the ability, in the sense of protecting. I mean, there's food, water, manufacturing, and how do you prevent nefarious individuals to penetrate that and cause problems? That to me
is scary. There's no question. You know, cyber attacks are on the rise. We've seen so many in the last several years that are scary. The WannaCry virus, the Mirai virus, NotPetya, and they're costing companies billions of dollars.
Before you go on, who comes up with these names? Because I mean, I would probably say, and here goes Ted. I can spell Ted right now. Ted.
You know, I know it would be simpler if it was something like how they name hurricanes, right? Right. Where just going down the letter of the alphabet. Right. But I think if you find it, it's kind of like finding a new mineral or a new element. If you find it, you can put your name on it.
Wow, that is fantastic. And I just sat there and going, man, he's speaking gibberish when he's saying like, names. But I'm looking on the list there, and I'm going, man, I tell you, the impact.
Right. Well, the cyber attacks are real, right? I mean, we have nation states in our smart grids, in our electric grid. We have seen very odd things go on, whether it's three different cities have power outages within hours of each other, or viruses that have taken down whole logistics companies, shipping or transportation companies.
Is that message getting out, KO? Is that, I mean, I the only one that I've recently heard about was the credit card company. They had
Equifax.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Equifax is one of the largest ones, right? And they were just slapped with a huge fine. But Equifax, or the Yahoo attack on a lot of their customer information, are very typical of data breach and data privacy attacks, where the hackers have been after information, stealing information. In the industrial world, it becomes even more impactful, because the attackers are typically after control. So being able to attack a factory or a substation and make it look like it's performing just fine, when in fact the systems themselves have been compromised and they're not safe at all. So those are the attacks that, looking into the future, are the most scary. And those are the ones that are on the rise, the attacks on our very critical infrastructure.
So when we start talking about the attacks, what do you see a trend? And you brought up something that was interesting in your past statement. It's like, sometimes you don't even see it. The attack has happened, but we're too busy, right, you know, manufacturing that widget to realize that something's happening and we don't see it. Is that sort of the more, even though it's increasing?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the big trends is just the frequency of attacks and the mutation of malware. So we've made it very easy, much too easy, for hackers to develop malware. And malware is simply software that's been designed to do something that the original application was not designed to do. and malware can be installed through a phishing email that you click on, and it installs something to your computer. Sometimes those installations can then attack other systems on your network once it's inside your network. And we've made it easy by creating online databases like Shodan, which is a website that you can go to look at all of the vulnerable devices that are out there of a particular kind on the on the internet, maybe a camera or a certain piece of industrial equipment. And they'll find, you know, the IP address of that device. There are also websites like Metasploit, where you can actually go to the website, download a piece of malware, the source code to a piece of malware, customize it, and then launch it out into the world again. So the online tools and resources for hackers make it very easy for them to attack and mutate malware much more frequently than they've been able to in the past.
Where are the laws? I mean, you just laid that stuff out. I mean, come on. It's you go to this Metasploit and you sit there. What is your intention there? Your intention is not going, I want to save the world from hunger. You're there because you want to do something that is questionable.
That's right. That's right. You know, the hackers fall into a couple of different camps. Some of them are what I would call hacktivists, which are simply developing malware to demonstrate that the system that they're targeting is vulnerable. And they want to show that manufacturer that they need to improve their product, secure their product. And they do that ultimately with good intention. The problem is that malware can then be used by others with malicious intent, be that a nation state or another company or organization with more nefarious goals.
Yeah, it'll find its way on Metasploit.
Exactly.
There you go. You
know, it's a good question about laws, and compliance.
Yeah.
Compliance are not necessarily laws. When you look at many of the industrial standards today, it provides a couple of challenges for companies, in my opinion. Compliance standards exist as more or less guidelines on what you can do. Goals, descriptions on what can be done, but the actual implementation is left up to the end user or the manufacturer.
Yeah.
And it can be done well or it can be done poorly. Secondly, they're not really laws. So the penalties for non-compliance are often non-existent. There are industries such as the aerospace industry and aviation industry that have very, very strict standards that you must follow and very rigorous testing. Because, of course, the very airplanes are carrying so many people. But very few laws exist in other industrial sectors. The concern is there. The alerts out there that things aren't safe are there, but the actual laws are not there. Unfortunately, Scott, I think it's going to take something really bad happening for these guidelines and compliance standards to really turn into law. And in the United States, that's going to have to sit with the administration and Congress.
Okay, I'm going to shift a little gears because I do have a number of questions to ask you. And one is like, okay, sure. I'm a company, okay? I put my company hat on, and you just sort of dropped some cyber bombs on me on now I'm really nervous and I don't know where to go. But what for me as the owner of the company, what are just some basic steps to ensure greater security for my organization? Because I can't see what's coming down the turnpike. I can't say, oh, here comes another doggone malware coming down. I can't see that because I don't have that. I don't do that. But how do I protect myself today as a company?
Well, so I think philosophically, the first thing to do is take a step back. There's no easy fix. There's no Band-Aid that you can put on that will keep all of the attackers at bay. It's very tough to do. You need to be able to work with your vendors, your equipment vendors, and provide guidance on your requirements to have safer products. You have to also work with your own processes and think about how you and your employees manage the equipment and the systems. Are the field technicians implementing updates to your systems in a way that are secure? Can you always trust that the private information or private keys and credentials on those devices are truly kept private? If you're a very large manufacturer or energy company, how do you ensure that the thousands of contractors that you employ around the world are always trusted with the keys to the kingdom, the security credentials of your devices? So my first piece of advice would be to take a step back and look at the problem more holistically and look at and identify what you believe some of the vulnerabilities are on the devices and the systems themselves, and also within your processes. Starting there will help you to see the breadth of the problem and oftentimes point you in areas and initiatives to address the problem more holistically.
All right, so what I have, I've got, okay, let's look at it holistically. Listeners, we're gonna sum it up here. We're not wrapping it up, but I wanna make sure you get this. So you step back, look at your whole system holistically, and identify and look at it in a way that recognizing that there might be some vulnerabilities too. Your equipment vendors and making sure that you have a defined standard for your security protocol and what you expect. And then thirdly, I would imagine the process, more human part, right, is like making sure that there's that human element that understands and make sure that the process is secure in that sense.
That's right.
That's heavy lifting there, KL.
It's heavy lifting. And it's about how have the products been developed and designed that you're using in your own systems.
But I don't have that knowledge. How do I, company owner who's been digging ditches with incredible precision, come back and say, okay, now I got to go and I got to look at my equipment vendor and I don't have a standard on what.
That's right. One way in terms of building requirements, you can look at some industrial standards. IEC 62443, it's a mouthful, is one of those standards, but it's an industrial cybersecurity standard. IEC 62443, simply asking your vendors, how are you compliant with this standard, is a great start.
Good.
But for most industrial companies that are operators, really looking at your processes is probably one of the biggest things you can do. You've got a factory and how are you updating the firmware on all of the conveyor belt systems that you operate? Or how are you implementing firmware updates on the substation gear? How are you doing that today? Is it being done in a way that could be automated? Is it being done in a way that is secure and more scalable? So it's those problems and looking at them that is very critical. You can also come to Mokana and we can provide documents, templates, questions you can ask vendors, evaluation that you can go through to evaluate your own systems.
Would you be willing to provide the listeners of Industrial Talk those documents?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Just go to mokana.com, reach out to us. We would love to help companies to better understand what they can do, what is in the realm of possible, and what they can do to improve the security on their existing plant, not just new equipment that they're buying.
Now, for clarification, what was the name of that IEC 62443. Is that sort of that's an industry standard?
It's not 8675309. It's 62443.
Thank you very much. Nice job with the reference there. I hope you got that there, listeners. Who sang that? 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9 Yeah, I can't remember. But
that's right.
It's still important. Now you just screwed everybody up. Just FYI. Now everybody's singing that and forgot about IEC 62443.
That's right.
Knuckleheads out there. Okay, so I think the listeners have to understand if attacks are on the rise, which they are, confirmed, the level of sophistication is there, right? It's growing. It's morphine and all that good stuff. The reality of you as a business owner, as an employee, you got to recognize that you're going to have to be secure. I mean, you've got an obligation. And you know what else, KL, which always fascinates me, is that especially today, there is such a rapid deployment of these devices that are out on equipment, right? They're just like, hey, it's like, yeah, it's a $2 item. I'm going to stick it out there and it's going to start talking and deliver data and all that stuff. What fascinates me is that nobody thinks about the security side. They're just saying, it's only $2. I stick it out there and I can get data. That's it.
Right.
But those are like little points of vulnerability.
That's right. And on a small scale, you're absolutely right. But the same thing happens on a large scale. So this whole trend toward industrial IoT, Industry 4.0, the smart factory, are ushering in all sorts of technologies that connect the factory floor to the cloud. And in the cloud, you have data analytics, you have artificial intelligence, and using all of this together, you can make better business decisions, decisions about how to improve performance of your plant, how to improve performance of an engine, how to reduce your fuel consumption costs. All of these, how to manage logistics better and transportation better to make your plants more productive. Now, the problem is that by doing this, you begin to introduce more and more surfaces of attack. That's what we call it, of attack to your plant. And that's where things get more dangerous, right? So you have on the one side, the business being very much driven toward driving more outcome-based business models, right?
Inside.
I'm going to sell you a piece of equipment. You're going to pay me based on savings or improvement in your productivity, and they're going to need to be connected to the cloud. Companies can make a lot of money that way in terms of improved profitability. The problem is they don't often think of how will this impact the risk, the operational risk of the business. How does this impact my ability to mitigate threats? How does this impact my ability to be resilient from downtime caused by a cyber attack, et cetera, right? And that's where guys like me really, really think about how companies can and should manage their risk, their cyber risk, from an operational standpoint.
I still think it's a very, from my perspective and from my circle, it is not a topic that is discussed frequently. It just isn't. And it is not a topic, and it's a topic that needs to, that you need to do a little probing and you need to do some sophisticated thinking, and everybody's just too busy. It's like, I got my widget manufacturing. That's like, I'm going over here.
Right. But the question is, for a business owner or for a board member, should you be thinking about cyber risks more? I would say absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. When you look at FedEx and Maersk, losing $300 million each due to a cyber attack called WannaCry, or Saudi Aramco, the largest oil company in the world, getting hit with $1 billion as all of its computers got bricked. Or if you look at the impact of the WannaCry and NotPetya, which are rising into the billions of dollars in impact to companies of every size. The impacts are there, and the question is on a horizon of 1 year, 10 year, 100 year, is your company really at risk from a cyber attack, and how will that impact your business? And companies aren't prepared for those attacks, for long sustained attacks on their the very systems that help them to create the products that they bring to market.
Okay, I'm going to have to drop it. We're going to be wrapping this up real soon, but I'm going to have to drop the question. Sure. Is there ever a time when I feel, if I was a company, feel protected, or do I always have to be diligent about my security risk?
So I think you have to be diligent about it. And I think, you know, for Mokana, we partner and serve some of the largest manufacturers in the world, GE, ABB, Schneider Electric, very large industrial manufacturers. And we help them to make their products more secure by leveraging our software in their products to make them more secure and managing them more securely. Now, the reason that companies should think about that more and think about what they're doing and being more diligent is because ultimately it will come back to them, right? It will come back to them in terms of the safety of their product. If you're a process manufacturer creating food or other items or chemicals, your products and your product quality have to meet your safety standards and the standards of your company. And all that we encourage companies to do is when you're looking at product safety, ensure that you have a diligent and well thought through cyber strategy. You have to do it. Don't wait until you're hacked your business.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Do it now. Don't wait till.
And it's it's the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure sort of a thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Companies should be able to go to their vendors and say, hey, you need to improve the security on this on the equipment that I've bought from you. That is your responsibility. The operator in the industrial company, the business owner, needs to be able to go and demand that of their vendors. You can't wait for it. Don't wait for the next big hack that impacts your company. Because whether it's a hacktivist or a nation state, if your systems are vulnerable, it will likely find you, certainly before you're able to protect yourself.
I would imagine that there's this sort of underlying, secret society that says, hey, you know that company over there? I bet you can get into it. Oh, yeah, they had this little issue. Yeah, and it's just sort of, it just happens.
Sure.
It's freaky.
One of the early 10 plus year ago attacks on a sewage plant happened just because of a disgruntled employee that still had access to systems.
Wow.
Right. I mean, it can be anyone. It can be anything.
Gosh. Well, everybody in Industrial Talk, that is K.O. Kandek. He has a big, impressive title with Mokana, and he is the head of cyber protection and privacy. And boy, was he talking about some cyber bombs in a good way, not a bad way. K.O., you were fantastic. I can't wait to do more because I'm sure we just sort of scratched the surface of that.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. I'll tell you right now, Industrial Talk Podcast listeners, you stay tuned. We're going to get on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit about how you can get a hold of Mokana, how you can get a hold of K.O. And thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line and that you can be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon and be safe out there. All right, you Industrial Talk listener. One word I have to say about KO, and that's impressive. One word I have to say about Makana, that's impressive. They're doing some really special work out there trying to protect our systems from cyber attacks. It's only getting more and more and more complex. A lot more people are out there trying to infiltrate your network. You got to contact KO. And it's all going to be out there on industrialtalk.com. Find his podcast. It'll be under cybersecurity, of course. And you reach out to him, and I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. And thank you, always, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Tremendous amount of content out there that is devoted and directed to you and your success. So thank you very much, and I appreciate it. We're going to have another great podcast coming up. So always be safe, and thank you for joining the Industrial Talk podcast.